You're listening to an LA Kings podcast. For more episodes of this and every other Kings program, visit lakings.com/podcast.
We're excited about the opportunity for sure. And it's kind of a different situation in the way everything unfolded and a mystery team and all that. But again, like I said, we're excited about the possibilities of moving up like we did.
You're listening to All the Kings Men, the official podcast of the LA Kings.
We firmly believe you build through the middle, you build the D and the goaltender, and currently where we're positioned, we've drafted some centermen, we've acquired some centermen, that will all play out as it goes, but that doesn't affect kind of what we're looking at.
Now, here's your host, Jesse Cohen.
Welcome back, Kings fans. I am Jesse Cohen. This is All the Kings Men, presented to you by Manscaped, an official partner of the LA Kings. Thanks to this revolutionary company, manscaping accidents are a thing of the past. Just get yourself the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. Inside, you'll find products like their Lawnmower 3.0, which is advanced skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't cut you. Everything you need to keep trimmed and smelling nice is in the Perfect Package 3.0. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code KINGSMEN at manscaped.com. That's manscaped.com. Use the code KINGSMEN. For some reason, I read that every time instead of having read it once and just running that tape over and over and over again. Anyway, the long wait is over, you guys. We now know that the Kings will pick second in the 2020 NHL Draft. We just have the long wait until it actually happens now. So here to tell you what we're going to do with all that free time is Jack Jablonski. As we sort of give you a summer reset of where the franchise is and where it might go from here. Hope you enjoy it. Joining me now, Jack Jablonski. How are you doing today, Jack?
Doing well. It's been a while.
It has.
Good to be back.
It has. Now, Friday night, there was a Zoom call for LA Kings employees, and I was on the call, but I have to confess, I have no idea how many other people were actually on the call. It was a lot. Were you on that call Friday night?
Unfortunately, I was not. I was in the midst of some physical therapy, okay. So I was watching the draft on TV, but wasn't able to join.
So the instructions were for all of us to turn on our cameras once the selection process began. And the idea was that we would all, and I'm probably revealing stuff I shouldn't, but the plan was that we should record ourselves in case the Kings wound up getting the number one overall pick. And that way we would have this collection of recordings to, put together into a reaction video of all of us reacting to the potential good news. Now, I did not turn my camera on and I did not unmute myself because I knew that if we didn't get the first overall pick, I wasn't interested in anybody seeing my reaction. And I wasn't particularly interested in anybody seeing my reaction, even if we had got the first overall pick. And as soon as the number 7 pick revealed to be not the Kings, I started clapping and screaming, and every card that kept turning down, every time it was not the Kings, I would shout out some obscenities and do a little fist pump and clap really loudly. And so there's no record of that. And I'm perfectly happy with there being no record of that, but the Kings will wind up taking the second overall pick in the 2020 NHL entry draft. Initial reaction.
Well, I mean, I think we knew going in that it was unlikely we were going to move up, obviously looking at percentage-wise. Mm-hmm. So having the bitter taste of what happened last year from moving from second to fifth, I think we were all hopeful that it wasn't going to happen again. But, the numbers weren't necessarily in our favor. So being able to move up and get the number 2 pick is extremely great for the Kings organization in terms of, the luck, but at the same time, it's going to be good. We're excited. Obviously we've got options and, we'll get into that a little bit, but, no, I'm excited. It's good to see something go our way after a few bad bounces in the past.
Yeah, it is great. And, we often refer back to a list of mantras that guide this, or that we hope guide fans from this podcast. And obviously the biggest one is happiness is measured by expectations. So right off the bat, I was expecting 7th So I'm happy that we got set too. But I want to introduce two new mantras that we've never really used before. One is never let good be the enemy of perfect. Or I think, no, don't let perfect be the enemy of good. Sorry, I had that backwards. So that is to say, don't worry. Don't let your disappointment at not getting number one ruin your happiness at getting number two, right? The second overall pick will be great. And you shouldn't let, let the missed opportunity of not getting one ruin that. And then the second one comes from Pete Blackburn. And he tweeted it. And I'm going to have to use some guitar riffs to clean it up. But he asked somebody not to be a hold on. I'm going to pull up the exact quote because it needs to be. I want to make sure I don't say it wrong and curse at the same time. Pete Blackburn said, don't be a head when you don't know. And the way I'm applying it to this situation is the Kings will draft somebody with the second overall pick, whether it's Quinton Byfield, whether it's Tim Stützle, whether it's Lucas Raymond or any of the other prospects. They're going to be good. And even if they're not, whoever they pick, even if they take an absolute bust with the second overall pick, and obviously we're all hoping they won't. Let's remember that these are kids. I think Byfield and Stützle are both still 17. Correct. So you're welcome to your opinion as to who they should take. Healthy debate is fun and useful and encouraged. But I'm seeing a lot of people insult each other over their opinion on who the Kings should take with the second overall pick. And so I just urge everybody, don't be a when you don't know shit. And in this case, we're talking about the future of 17-year-olds, and none of us knows shit. So just, you know, let's be cool, everybody. There's enough things to yell about than who the Kings take with the second overall pick.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to go after that off your first mantra that you brought up in terms of, you know, don't let perfection be the enemy of good or whatever.
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
Nope, you nailed it.
You know, the Kings were, had the highest percentage of going sixth overall, and our beloved enemies just a little bit southeast of us,
that's right,
ended up being that sixth overall pick. So it's great to see that just because of the little rivalry. And I know you love love seeing Anaheim more so than I not go, you know, the way that they want them to go. So it's great to see, you know, the Kings being able to move up. But most of all, I think, you know, it's, you know, we didn't get Lafreniere, but at the same time, you know, there's a lot of great options. And you look at Stützle, you look at Byfield, those are obviously the front runners right now, but you know, there's a lot of time, and you know, Mark and Eddie, and I know you talked to him after the draft, you know, he's got a lot to do now that we know where we're going, and you know, it'll be interesting to see where it plays out. But at the same time, you know, it was a good day for the Kings on Friday.
Yeah, and you know, this is something that we've hammered home in past seasons on the podcast, and that is, it's great to have singular talents in a franchise, right? Like, I would never go so far as to say that I wouldn't want a Steven Stamkos or an Alexander Ovechkin or any other player taken first overall in a draft. But singular players can't do it alone in hockey, right? Like, they can't even do it in basketball, but basketball, certainly it's easier. You know, if you get one guy, if it's the right guy, you can say, okay, now you can build a franchise around him. But in hockey, whether it's Anze Kopitar, Dustin Brown, Drew Doughty, Jonathan Quick, Jeff Carter, Justin Williams, whoever you want to point to as being the quote-unquote most important element of the Kings' success during those cup runs, you still couldn't do it without the other 15, 16, 17 guys on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes the game of hockey amazing, because it's such a team sport. You know, I think, you know, how many times have we brought up, or at least myself brought up, whenever you hear an interview in the NBA, it's I, and whenever it's in the NHL, it's, you know, we did this, we were able to do that. It's because we understand that, you know, your best player in any given game is only going to play 30 to 40% of the game. And, you know, LeBron James can play 48 minutes of the 48-minute basketball game. So, you know, being able to draft a singular talent like we will be whenever the draft happens, it's going to be a huge step forward. You know, it sounds like whoever it may be might be NHL ready by the start of next season. So being able to fast track the, you know, the rebuild that the Kings were going through, it shows a lot of optimism towards what the Kings have been able to do within their organization and development. And to be able to add another piece is going to, you know, allow for the Kings to, you know, get to where we want to go, or at least, you know, start to move forward towards, you know, becoming a Stanley Cup contender quicker than we thought. And this was a good step on Friday.
Yeah. And, you know, we obviously, again, it would be great if whoever they take with the second overall pick goes on to have a 20-year career, be a Hall of Famer, have their number yep. retired, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But if the ultimate goal of winning another, winning the Stanley Cup another time, is to be achieved, it's going to require players like Gabe Vilardi, Mikey Anderson, Cole Hultz, Arthur Kaliev, Alex Turcotte, Tyler Madden. You know, some of those players are going to have to come along for the ride towards greatness. So, again, absolutely. Super exciting, and it's great to talk about. And believe me, we will be talking about it. But
yeah, we've got time and we've got to fill. So, you know, absolutely, you know, we'll have plenty of opportunities to really break down, you know, who exactly the Kings should go with, you know, where that hole needs to be filled within the roster, and ultimately, you know, who we want to go after given the roster and the depth that the Kings have right now in their organization.
Yeah. So just a look ahead to what people can expect from all the Kings men. Obviously there have been a lot of changes to AEG over the last month. It's unfortunate. We are going to miss a lot of the people that are no longer with us. So we are going to try and pick up the slack. We are going to try and pivot, reimagine our role, reimagine what we can do to try and keep you guys, the fans, engaged and informed over the next potentially 6 months without any Kings hockey. There was some rumor over the last few days of games being played in some format between the seven teams that don't qualify for either the qualifying rounds or the playoffs. I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't know that it'll happen. Obviously, we have no idea if the AHL, the ECHL, the NCAA, or Major Juniors will return to action. So, in the meantime, Jack and I are going to be...
Such a nightmare.
I know. It really... I mean, honestly, like, not to be selfish or reveal too much, but the second overall pick is actually kind of helpful personally, because if it's the first overall pick, then okay, well, we're just talking about Lafreniere for 6 months. And if it's the seventh overall pick, well, okay, we don't have any real idea who it is, and there's not much to get. Yeah. I mean, we'd obviously be excited, but, you know, it's like, all right, well, it might be this guy, might be that guy. Second overall pick, yeah. I don't know, it could be
we have every player on the board.
Yeah.
Guy who we already know is gone. So,
and reason to be excited about whoever it is. So selfishly,
yeah, it's great. It gives us opportunity, and we can reach out to people that we know that probably know a little bit more about this than us. But
a lot more about me anyway.
Or yeah, touche. But no, you're right. It's selfishly, it helps us. But at the same time, I guess I'll let you carry on with the forecast of all the Kingsmen.
So for the next month or so, we're going to be previewing the upcoming qualifying rounds. Training camps are set to open July 10th, so we're going to dive into those relatively quickly, get you caught up who's playing who, what we expect from each of those rounds. We're going to attempt to speak to either active players from those teams or people well-connected to those franchises to give you more than just sort of our layman's opinion about those series. We will also be profiling more than just Byfield and Stützle as far as potential players available at that number two pick. And again, we will be talking to play-by-play announcers, scouts, maybe some coaches, hopefully, getting a more in-depth look at the kind of players available to the Kings in that number two selection. And eventually we're going to get into player evaluations. This is something that John Rosen would do over at the LA Kings Insider. It'll be a little bit different, obviously, because it'll be in audio form, but we're hoping to get into that. We're hoping to bring you as much content, like I said, as we can. Hopefully there'll be some form of games played that we can talk to and react to, because the Kings have a ton of young players who will be playing in Ontario or or maybe on the Kings. Who knows? There's a lot of there's a lot of unknowns right now.
Yeah, I mean, in general, we don't know the forecast of all the leagues that you mentioned just a few minutes ago. So we're going to have to react to that as it comes. We have no idea, you know, who's going to be playing where, obviously, with a bunch of our younger players now having just signed their entry-level contracts. It's a matter of, you know, who's going to play for the Kings if they're not and the leagues don't exist, where are they going to be playing? So a lot of information to be filled in later down the road, but at the same time, we'll be here to help you guys and talk you through it.
And All the Kings Men will keep going. All the Kings Men Live will continue to be every Thursday at noon on the LA Kings Twitch channel, the YouTube page, the Facebook page, or the Twitter account. The Rainy Day podcast is still going on. They're doing some great interviews. I really like the job that Cameron and Zach do, and I can see the numbers, and I'm aware that a lot of you are subscribed to this podcast, but not to the Rainy Day podcast. So do yourself a favor, go listen to that. And now, Jack, we're going to get into the roster situation, because moving forward, I think it's important just every now and then to reset where the organization is, because I see a lot of conversations and a lot of questions and a lot of comments. Like I said at the opening, happiness is measured by expectations, and so you have to have realistic expectations, just in general, in order to be happy, I suppose. And I see a lot of people talking about things that just aren't true, and they ought to know that, or are misconceptions that are commonplace. So, for example, I see a lot of people talking about how messed up it is that somebody could win the Stanley Cup and pick first overall in the draft. That's not going to happen. It cannot happen. Even the New York Rangers can't do it, which is the one I keep seeing people say. They have Carolina's pick and Toronto's pick. And so people are saying, well, if New York wins their qualifying round and go on to win the Stanley Cup, but Carolina or Toronto win the first overall pick, then it could be it. Nope. The conditions on the pick is that the Rangers get the lesser of the two picks. So can't happen. Don't worry.
We'll set the record straight.
Yeah, and then I see a lot of speculation about players like Kaliev playing for the Rain next season. And, of course,
that's can't happen.
Not possible as the rules are currently written. There might be some change to the rules based on, you know, COVID scenarios. But as of right now, can't happen. So let's look at next season, Jack, the 2020-21 NHL season. The salary cap will be flat, probably. It hasn't been decided yet, but they are hammering out some changes to the collective bargaining agreement, and everybody seems to think that the salary cap will stay flat for the next two, possibly three seasons at $81.5 million. The Kings currently have 16 players under contract next season, and they are committed to $60,762,727. That includes just over $11 million being paid to Dion Phaneuf, Mike Richards, and Ilya Kovalchuk. So
yikes.
Well, I mean, yikes for whoever has to cut those checks for the Kings. Yeah. What it ultimately means is that they have about 5 to 7 roster spots to fill out, and they've got about $21 million to do it. Restricted free agents include Sean Walker, Austin Wagner, and Nikolai Prokhorkin. Now, I don't think Prokhorkin will be coming back. There's been a lot of talk about him, his rights being traded within the KHL, and the assumption, I think, is that he will return to the KHL. I would expect Austin Wagner and Sean Walker to be brought back as restricted free agents, though.
Yeah, I do agree. You know, you look at both of those players and how they had a lot of progress made, I think, in the beginning of the season, or at least I think both of them made progress during the season. Mm-hmm. Sean Walker had a great start to the season, and I would say he kind of, I wouldn't say plateaued, but he, you know, it flattened a little bit in terms of play, but it was still at an NHL level. And then you look at Wagner, I think he really grew in the last, you know, 20 games or so, if you agree or not there.
Yeah, look, he played 70 games, and there's only 4 guys on the roster who played 70 games. So, yeah. And Wagner played 65. So, like, I don't think that either one of them, regardless of how many young prospects the Kings have, and regardless of how much people want to say, you know, I think Wagner had six goals, you know, so people can complain that he doesn't score a lot, or people can say that they need this, that, or the other thing. Like, these were regular contributing members of the Kings lineup, and I just don't see anybody ready to replace either one of them. Certainly not Sean Walker, who, to your original question about whether or not he grew, I mean, I think he is owed a lot of credit for turning Curtis McDermott into a regular NHL defenseman and getting that contract extension.
Yeah, no, he really, he's one of those players who, and the Kings have a few of these guys, and I know I've used this term with like Cole Holtz and them. He's one of those players where the less you hear of him on the ice is probably the better, just because he's so sturdy. He's so consistent. He plays a very simple game and just, you know, moving the puck, making the right play, and, you know, not being out of position. So for Sean Walker to be able to have, you know, come into the Kings organization, at least on the NHL level, and, you know, find himself playing 70 games, you know, staying healthy, being on the ice for 15 to 20 minutes a game, was a great surprise, I think, for the Kings organization, not having had the highest expectations, I believe. So it was a nice surprise, and I think we found someone that can definitely fill in and play, you know, a decent amount of minutes on a nightly basis for a Kings roster that is still in the transition period of, you know, bringing in some younger players. So at the very least, I think you look at a guy that can hold down the fort for the Kings as they keep growing into a younger roster.
Yeah, and I think hold down the fort is probably the perfect expression there, because Walker and Roy, both right-handed shots, both 25 years old, both played 70 minutes and finished with about
70 games.
Sorry, thank you. 70 games. Sorry. Walker,
it'd be nice if they played 70.
No, games. It would be great. But, you know, sort of interchangeable on the second or third pairing, right? Either way you want to go. And yep. And Walker, that rare right shot defenseman that can play the left side, right? You're always talking about, well, can we find a left-hander that can play the right side? You know, guys like Alec Martinez or Cale Clegg. But Walker winds up playing, you know, a handful of games with Doughty on the left side. So Walker brings a little bit of flexibility, versatility, whatever you want to call it. And between Doughty, Roy, and Walker, and McDermott under contract, I mean, assuming Walker's brought back, you know, that's four guys that have played the bulk of an NHL season. I'm just scanning through here real quick to see if I can figure out how many games McDermott played, and I can't, there it is, 45 games this season. So, you know,
45, more, but he was more than consistently half in the lineup,
yeah,
in the last half of the year.
Right.
So he probably played, I don't know, 75% of the games at least in the last half of the year.
Yeah, down the stretch easily. So then that brings us to the unrestricted free agents, and we've got Joakim Ryan and Ben Hutton. Honestly, I wouldn't cry if either one of them was brought back, but the flip side of that coin is that I wouldn't cry if they found a new team.
Yeah, I can't foresee Joakim Ryan making a return to the Kings. Ben Hutton, I think, is a little bit more of a mystery, just because I think his return will depend on the Kings' confidence level of Mikey Anderson, mm-hmm, being able to play a full season, or will Cole Holtz be able to come up and play a decent amount of games? Is he ready for the NHL coming from Penn State? Is Cale Clegg ready to take the step? So I think that return from Hutton is solely based on what they see potentially in the development camps, if there is one, or whenever timing allows the Kings to really assess those younger players, to see if they think that they can fill that hole instead of bringing back another defenseman.
And you left out Tobias Bjornfoot, which I frequently I forget about him all the time too, right? I mean, that's how many young players they have.
Yeah. I mean, how many? We've got, what, 25 players in the in this pool, and we're about to add like 35 more with our draft picks?
Yeah, so I mean, there's a lot of conversation, and I mean, General Manager Rob Blake mentioned it himself, and it's sort of a constant. It has been a constant topic of conversation for more than a year. This goes back to last offseason. And that is, will the Kings dip into free agency to upgrade the left-hand defenseman position? And the argument is they need someone to play with Drew Doughty. None of the young guys appear to be ready. Although Mikey Anderson and Matt Roy were a pair, Curtis McDermott and Sean Walker played a lot as a pair. You have, as you mentioned, Cale Clegg.
Toby Bjornfoot. Instantly you go to Bjornfoot, right? Because I've never seen a guy of Drew Doughty's stature talk so highly about a prospect or a young draft pick that he did with Bjornfoot last year. Early in the season and even in, you know, training camp and the preseason, Drew Doughty just could not say enough, you know, promising things about Tobias Bjornfoot. So it'll be interesting to see if they think he's ready to step up and play with Drew Doughty and he can, you know, match what he needs. So it'll be interesting. I'm excited to see that ability in Bjornfoot because Drew is, you know, I trust his opinion and what he thinks about defensemen.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I see people uncomfortable with the idea of going with that many young and relatively inexperienced players on a blue line. Because if we're talking about Bjornfoot, we're talking about a 19-year-old paired with Drew Doughty. And then if we go with something like Mikey Anderson and Matt Roy, and whether it's Cole Hultz or Cale Clegg,
you could end up with 4 to 5 guys under the age of 25,
correct,
or 26.
But honestly, I'm okay with it. Just not bothered.
In a realistic world, we have to understand that we're, you know, it'd be great to contend for a playoff spot next year, but we still have to understand that there's a lot of room for players to grow. A lot of people that are coming up in this organization that we're speaking very highly of need to adjust to the NHL level, and it's going to take time. You know, you can throw a Connor McDavid in and he's going to light it up, but frankly, unfortunately, we don't have a Connor McDavid in this organization. So, you know, as great as these young players are and these prospects that, you know, have allowed the Kings to have a number one prospect pool in the NHL, they're not just going to come in and light it up to the point of, you know, we've got, you know, 4 60 point getters as rookies. So, you know, they're going to have to adjust. It's going to take a season or two for them to be able to turn it on and, you know, become absolute, you know, nightmares in terms of matchups for their opponents. So, you know, for this team, it's going to take a little bit of time. It'd be great to contend for the playoffs next year, but I think overall it's going to be a very fun season to watch and a season that is going to allow us to, you know, provide a lot of opportunity for these young kids to step in and at least make those first steps towards understanding, you know, how you have to perform on a nightly basis against the top players in the world.
And I think it's important to pay attention to the stratification of age on this roster. So you've got Dustin Brown and Jeff Carter, who are, I believe, going to be 35, if they're not already 35. Jonathan Quick, I'm looking at Hockey DB right now, and so all the ages are not necessarily always accurate. But 33, Kopitar 32, I think he may be 33 already. Drew Doughty 29, maybe 30 already, or maybe he turns 30 this year. Trevor Lewis listed at 32 here. So, and Trevor Lewis is an unrestricted free agent. We had not yet gotten to him. But then you start dipping down, and you've got, you know, Ben Hutton 26, Joakim Ryan 26, as we mentioned, may or not return. Martin Furk, I believe, is 26. Alex Iafallo, I believe, is 26, going to turn 27. McDermott, 25. Trevor Moore, 24. Sean Walker, Matt Roy, 25. Mike Amadio, you know, Austin Wagner, Adrian Kempe. Now, these guys are great, and I'm certainly not suggesting that because they're in that 22 to 28-year-old bubble that they won't play important roles 3 or 4 years down the road when we hope the team is in contention. But the point is that the real people that we're looking forward to, the real players who are hopefully going to lead this team with their talent, you know, the potential future superstars, Gabe Vilardi is the oldest of those players, and he's, what, 21?
Yep.
Everybody else we're talking about is 21 or younger. So
21 to the draft pick that we're likely going to end up with, who is 17.
Yeah, and Gabe Vilardi doesn't turn 21 until August. So, I mean, he will be 21 this coming season, but not yet 21. So that's what we're looking at. We're looking at an incredibly deep group of players who are all very young. So just keep that in mind. Now, so let's get to Trevor Lewis. With Hutton and Ryan, I would not cry if he were not retained or offered a contract. However, I do hope he is, And I understand that people think that a spot, and I'm assuming from your guttural sound there that you may be one of them. I get it. He's not going to score a lot of goals. I concede that. I understand. But I just don't think there's anything wrong with having a guy like Trevor Lewis play 10 minutes a night on your fourth line. You know, he's not, quote unquote, stealing a spot from a younger player if he's your fourth line right winger.
So this is this one is, you know, perplexing because I can't make up my mind on what I think they should do with him, because I think there's true value in talking to Trevor Lewis and saying, listen, we're going to bring you back, but your role is now, you know, 8 minutes a night. You're probably going to play, you know, 60 games this year. And we truly want you to connect with the younger players, teach them, make them understand, you know, what you have to do on a daily basis to not only succeed on the ice, but make yourself ready to succeed on the ice by doing what you have to do off the ice. So that, I think, is something that has to be considered. And, you know, everyone in the Kings organization knows Trevor Lewis is a class act, someone who is always, you know, doing the right things and is completely professional. So, you know, if he's a guy who is willing to, you know, take that transition, I think you have an opportunity to bring him back. Then you take the other side of the equation where, listen, he's not necessarily producing, you know, on the ice. Obviously, he's never been someone who's going to put up a point a game, but he, you know, he has value in many other areas. It's just a matter of, do you want him to help the youth, or do you look at it as a body that's taking up a spot for the youth? And that's a decision the Kings are going to have to make.
So let's talk about the idea that he's a body taking up a spot for the youth, because I sympathize with that argument in general. Right. Like I get it and I agree with it. But he only played 11 minutes and 54 seconds per game last season. And the only players who played fewer minutes than him were Austin Wagner, Kyle Clifford, Matt Luff, Jared Anderson Dolan, and Tim Schaller. Now, Tim Schaller played 2 games. Jared Anderson Dolan played 4 games. Matt Luff played 18 games. And I would argue that Trevor Lewis wasn't taking up minutes that Matt Luff would have played.
I would agree with that.
And so now you're looking at Kyle Clifford, who he frequently found himself on a line with. That's why they both played in between 11 to 12 minutes. And then Austin Wagner.
Clifford played less, though.
Yeah, no, I am too. And but I think,
catches me by surprise.
But I think the two of them are sort of part and parcel of the same thing. And, you know,
yes.
There's three players that played between 11 and 12 minutes, and it's Lewis, Wagner, and Clifford. And like we said, Wagner's a restricted free agent, and Lewis is an unrestricted free agent. And the bulk of players that we're hoping will develop into the future of this team, as we said, are 21 or younger. So let's say you want Jared Anderson Dolan to develop into what we had in Jarrett Stoll, eight years ago.
That's actually a great comparison.
I mean, that I see people make it all the time. But do we think that Jared Anderson Dolan's development is going to be hindered because Trevor Lewis is playing 11 minutes a night on the fourth line? Now, my argument would be no. I'd rather have Jared Anderson Dolan either playing 13 to 14 minutes with the NHL, you know, team, or playing 15 to 17 minutes with the AHL team. I don't want 21-year-old Jared Anderson Dolan playing 10 minutes a night.
This goes back to, and I don't want to get too far off topic here, but when you're playing younger players and, you know, you're dealing with, you know, guys who have always been, you know, on the first line growing up and through juniors and college, whatever route it's taken, that need to play minutes, you know, you're looking at Trevor Lewis, who isn't one of those guys taking up those minutes, because as you mentioned, it's best for a guy like Anderson Dolan to play 15 minutes a game because that's what they're used to. And it's, you know, great players can make transitions, but great players also don't play 10 minutes a game. They play more. So for him to be able to step into the lineup and play more, Lewis probably isn't the one that's getting in the way of that. It's just a matter of, you know, when you have X amount of bodies, you know, are three of those minutes that Lewis is playing available to go to someone else? So it's just a matter of, is he getting in the way? No, probably not. But a few of those minutes could go to him instead. So it's complicated, you know, when you're moving lines and moving players. It's just a matter of, you know, where does he fit into the equation? And obviously, you can't imagine that if they were to bring Lewis back, it wouldn't be anything more than a year or two, in my estimation, just because of what is expected to follow in the coming years.
Yeah, well, and that's honestly, from my perspective, excuse me, another reason why it makes sense, because as you mentioned, his age and his salary. So in 2011, when the Kings started that season that wound up ending with them winning the Stanley Cup, Ethan Morrow and Tim Hunter, I believe his first name was Tim, started that season as forwards and ended the season not with the LA Kings. So if you sign Trevor Lewis, who is already 33, I believe, if not 32, I'm just going to look up his age real quick so it doesn't drive me crazy. Yeah, he's already 33 years and 172 days. His birthday's January 8th, 1987. So by the time the next season starts, he'll be on the cusp of turning 34. If you sign him to a one-year or maybe a two-year deal for somewhere between league minimum and $2 million each season, you could wind up with a guy who just sort of quietly, professionally finishes out his career playing that role. Again, professionally and and with dignity, exit the lineup either into a front office job or, you know, a demotion to Ontario or a trade to another team, whatever. I just don't think that the negative on the con side of the ledger is so big that it needs to overwhelm the decision one way or the other. But we're going to move on because, like you said, it's complicated and we could go on forever about that. So that brings us to restricted free agents who don't or didn't finish the season with the Kings, but who I think the Kings have to make a decision about. And that is Grundstrom, Rempel, Asimont, Imama, Luff, Strand, and Redekop. Now,
oof.
Yeah. Rempel.
Well, I guess instantly off that lineup, yeah. I would say, just pure reaction, I would say you want to bring back Luff. You want to bring back Asimont and Grundstrom. I think those, to me, are no-brainers.
See, I would say, just personally, that Grundstrom is the only one for me who's a no-brainer. And it has more to do with age and future potential than anything else.
Yeah.
Rempel has not yet really made a name for himself in the NHL. I can't remember if he played one game. I guess I should look it up rather than speculate. But, I mean, Imama, at this point, is not an NHL player. Asimont, you know,
Asimont made a big jump this year. So
he did.
I'm not to say he's not an NHL player, but I do agree that he still has a decent number of players in the Kings organization to jump.
Yeah, and and it does, but the problem is every year more players come along and the list gets longer. So Matt Luff, look, we all love Matt Luff, we all love Meatball. But now there's
more names,
right? There's more names with higher ceilings. He's got a very small window. You know, we ran into this with Michael Mersch and I forget Auger's first name. I think Justin, was it Justin Auger?
You know better than I.
Former Rain players that you get, you know, and Asimont's, you know, in the same boat, and Rempel is as well, where when the team didn't have first round draft picks for a few years in a row, and, you know, Cale Clegg was the highlight of your depth chart, and you relied on what you had to get excited about, those guys sort of leapt to the front of the list. But now that you have
a bunch of top
Alex Turcotte, Gabe Vilardi, Samuel Fagamo, Arthur Kaliev guys, and now you're going to add the second overall pick, etc. You know, a guy who's 23 years old, 24 years old, who hasn't yet cracked an NHL lineup with any sort of consistency, starts to be less and less likely for it to happen. So Sheldon Rempel, Born August 7th, 1995. So he's already 24. He's about to turn 25.
Yep.
He's 5 foot 10, 165 pounds. And he's played seven games in the... Wow, is it seven games in the NHL? Jeez.
How
is
that?
In 2018-19. I guess it was last season. I don't remember.
Where were we?
And no disrespect to Sheldon Rempel, but again, like that just... You know.
It's. I think the best point that you've brought up here is that, you know, you've got these guys who are in an age group that if they were NHL players, they'd be getting, you know, they'd be getting right. contracts in terms of, you know, a few mil, you know, one way, and they're not. And on top of that, as you've mentioned, we're adding more names to this pool, and those names are younger with higher ceilings, we expect. So, right. Yeah, I agree that Grundstrom for sure needs to be brought back. He's still, you know, he was a big piece of what we got back in the trade last year. So being able to use that to our advantage and you know, add that and keep his name within this prospect pool because he's still young. I think it's one of those things where he's just a little bit older than these other guys. Mm-hmm. So he has an opportunity to kind of jump into the Kings roster and hopefully make that step before maybe the other guys are ready, which can give him an opportunity to cement himself into a lineup spot.
Yeah. And I wouldn't have a problem with Grundstrom, Rempel, Asimont, Luff, and even Strand and Redekop and Imama all being brought back with the understanding that you need guys in Ontario. You can't have, you know, a bunch of 19-year-olds, you know, collegiate and foreign players in Ontario. But
well, that's actually a great point you bring up because, you know, I think you look at the development of a lot of the players in Ontario, you need those older players who are veterans who understand how it works to be able to help develop those players. Because if you have a bunch of 18 and 19-year-olds in Ontario, you know, you're going up against guys who are older, bigger, grinded out, you know, types of players within other AHL organizations that can just beat you up. And if you're not having success and you're getting, you know, tossed around the AH level because of your age and your lack of depth in terms of, you know, veteran leadership, then you're not developing the right way that's going to help you succeed at the next level.
And we're not going to get into it today because it really does just make my eyes cross. But you do have to take waiver eligibility into consideration in all this. And so a guy like Grundstrom, who is 22 years old, 22 and 210 days, he turns 23 in December. So when the next season rolls around, he will probably be 23 for the bulk of it. And I believe his waiver eligibility is either already up or expires somewhere in the middle of his next season. He's the kind of guy where like, okay, this season, this is where Carl Grundstrom's career sort of chooses itself, right? Does he become a bubble NHL player? Does he become a regular contributor to an NHL team? Is he claimed off of waivers because there just isn't room for him on the Kings team, but some other team wants to take a crack at him? Does he become a career AHL player? Does he become the kind of player who develops, you know, a few years later? Like, I don't know, but as I said, we keep adding younger players with higher ceilings to this prospect pool. And so a guy like him is already on the verge of sort of spilling over. So we'll
He finds himself in the perfect age right now to have an opportunity to make an NHL roster and, you know, prove that he is an NHL player, you know, day in and day out, given the fact that everyone behind him just isn't necessarily ready yet.
Right. So that's the restricted free agents. The final non-roster unrestricted free agent is Paul Ledoux. Despite the fact that a popular fan publication listed him as the third overall highest ranked Kings prospect a few seasons ago, despite the fact that he was like 24 at the time, I think.
How old is he now?
He's 27, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I believe that Paul Ledoux, we wish him the best. I believe that he's probably a great guy, but he's 27. He's almost 28. He'll be 28 in September. So,
I know him a little bit, just in passing, and being in the organization and seeing him around the rink and stuff. But I do believe that he's probably going to end up on a different organization next season, just because of the depth, the youth, and the ceiling of a lot of the players that will be coming into Ontario in the NHL next season.
And I want to be perfectly clear. I'm laughing and making light of it, not for any animus I have towards Paul Ledoux, but for the playful rivalry I have with this popular fan publication who has loved Paul Ledoux for a number of years, despite all evidence leading the rest of us to see what they couldn't. But anyway, that is the roster situation. Now, there's also contracts that we have to pay attention to. An NHL team is allowed 50 players under contract. Of course, that doesn't apply to players who have signed an entry-level contract but who are playing in major juniors, or, for example, a guy like Bjornfoot, whose contract slides because he's foreign-born and playing in the AHL. And a reserve list limit of 90. The Kings are nowhere near the 90-player reserve list limit, so I'm not worried about that. But currently, I believe they have 45 players out of the 50 contracts, and I believe next season they're already up to 37.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and like I said, that's with six or seven spots. They've got 16 people under contract, 23 available spots for an NHL roster, so they could sign, you know, eight contracts, which would bring them up to, let me just scroll down here and see the actual number. Yeah, they have 16 players under contract in the NHL next season, 37 standard player contracts. If they expand that 16 to 23, that would bring them to 44. So, I mean, they're not really in danger of it, but it's just something to keep an eye on for future reference.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing here is we'll learn a lot about where the management thinks that the Kings can go in terms of the next 2 or 3 years and what they do in free agency, because there is such a youth movement within the organization. And obviously they have the number one prospect pool in the NHL, and they're going to add on it with the number two pick. And, you know, what I think we have like 11 draft picks this year. So right. It's just going to keep adding up. So what we can't lose sight of is how the Kings have to plan financially for the future, because it's amazing that they have all these, you know, young players, but 2, 3 years, 4 years down the road, they're going to have to pay them, hoping that they pan out, and they can't lock up, you know, a top free agent that's going to necessarily run them into trouble in a few years if they're looking at a long-term success rate within the players that they've drafted and acquired through trades that are all young. So that's a whole nother conversation. It's obviously extremely detailed and confusing, because you just don't know who's going to be good and who's not going to pan out moving forward. But at the same time, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they do at free agency. That's probably what I'm most excited for moving forward. Aside from, you know, hockey outside of the Kings organization, getting back on the ice, but I mean, a lot to be determined. You know, we don't know when free agency is. Obviously, the contracts are a confusing situation with them supposedly expiring in like, what, 3 days at the time of this being recorded. So, you know, confusing, but at the same time, let's look at free agency, because I think it'll be interesting to see if the Kings try to make a move to help Doughty or to build some depth for the time being.
And looming over all of this, and this will make the free agency decision even more interesting, is the fact that next summer is the Seattle expansion draft.
Yep. And so well, the Kings find themselves in a pretty decent situation, because all their prospects are going to be covered and they can't be taken. So that's the most important thing. No entry-level contracts, I believe, are allowed to be taken. Is that correct?
That is correct. And I think I can't remember the exact wording of it, but I'm just looking at the list right now. And, you know, Mark Iannetti always references Thomas Hickey as being the biggest mistake made by the Kings in the draft. Now, I don't think drafting Hickey was a mistake. I think not trading him before he was claimed off of waivers was the mistake. And so looking at the list of players that are eligible, it's not a ton of them. But if you want it, you have to protect Kopitar. you can leave Brown and Carter unprotected. I think you would probably have to protect Iafallo, Kempe.
Absolutely.
At this point, I would protect Blake Lizotte. Carl Grundstrom, the decision can be made this year whether or not to protect him. But let's just say that you protect Kopitar, Iafallo, Kempe, and Lizotte. And who knows, maybe you don't protect Lizotte. But on the defensive end, you have to protect Drew Doughty contractually. I think they would protect Walker and Roy, but that would leave either Cale Clegg or Jacob Muvrare or Curtis McDermott, or on the forward side, depending on how it lines up, you potentially might lose somebody like Martin Furk, somebody like Austin Wagner, or someone like Carl Grundstrom or Blake Lizotte. Now, none of those is a franchise breaker, but it's just one more thing this year. Now, if you did sign a left-hand defenseman, let's say you went out and signed
Torrey Krug.
Yes, that's exactly what I was just going to say. Maybe you do that.
What a sexy pick that would be for him.
But maybe you do it with the idea that if you sign him to a 2 or 3 year deal, right, that's good for him.
It's a tough bargain.
You could overpay to bring him here, but then you could leave him unprotected with the hopes that the crop of young prospects you have coming up behind would ease the pain. You would do it to sort of force Seattle to take that player, you know, so that you can keep all of your young prospects. I don't know if that's a good strategy. I'm just saying it's a, you know,
that's a sketchy strategy, but Jesse Cohen has never been afraid to.
Well,
to
I only say it because Krug is what, 29, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, he's 29. He's the top defenseman, and going into free agency, I think the Kings would be, I don't want to say dumb to not at least pursue him and see if that's an option for him. But I also think that all of a sudden, given the youth movement and the hype that's being talked around, what the Kings have is also becoming a kind of a sexy place to go right now. Because there's a lot of potential and a lot of brightness, you know, a year or two down the road. So, you know, regardless, if you look at Seattle, that makes things much more complicated. But they do have to keep that in mind, because the last thing you want to do is, you know, put yourself in a situation where you have to give up, you know, a guy like Clegg or, you know, whoever may come about. But luckily, the Kings do happen to have themselves in a good position timely, just because all of their young players will not be allowed to be taken by Seattle. And that'll be extremely important. And on top of that, you're going to keep your top players like Kopitar and Brown, Kopitar and Doughty. So we'll see what happens, but I think that could be another 3 hour podcast if we wanted to go down that road.
Exactly. So anyway, I hope this, sorry that me playing with my magnet in the background there. I hope that this has helped establish some expectations for you and helped answer some questions. Like I said, we are going to keep bringing you more podcasts. We are going to be previewing the qualifying rounds and the playoffs. We're going to be doing player evaluations for the season just concluded. And of course, we will be doing some scouting reports on players the Kings might potentially take with that second overall pick. Jack, I want to thank you very much for joining me today.
Yeah, no, good to be back on All the Kings Men. And as you mentioned, with previewing the playoffs coming up, we've got, who do we got? Chicago and Edmonton, and we're going to be talking to Jeremy Roenick for that one. And then we've got Pittsburgh and Montreal, and we'll be talking to Jason Zucker for that. So excited to kind of get back into the playoff mood and talk about a lot of things that are close down the road as we hope to see some hockey soon. But yeah, thanks for being back on. I'm excited.
Yeah, as am I. And to you fans, thanks for listening. If you're not already, please do go subscribe to the Rainy Day Podcast at lakings.com/podcast. Make sure you watch me and Carlin every Thursday at noon. Again, on Twitch, on Facebook, on YouTube, or on Twitter. Replays are available and the audio will be made available on this channel. So thanks again for listening, and we will talk to you soon. Go Kings, go.